Psachim Daf Zayin. We are in Vav Amud Beis, about a third of the way from the bottom of the Amud, starting with Rav Yehuda Merav here in the first parak of Psachim. Continued discussion regarding the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. We went over a series of halachas that were said over by Rav Yehuda Merav, beginning on Vav Amud Aleph, and we continue. The Gemara starts off on Rav Yehuda Merav. Abodik Sarich Shiyivatel. So once you do Bedika on the night of the 14th, there is going to be a requirement to do bittul. Bittul is a nullification of chametz. We already discussed it a couple of times, but here the Gemara speaks about it explicitly. And the Gemara says that bittul is going to be done in conjunction with the bedika. This, of course, means that we're talking about the bittul that's done on the night of the 14th. So everybody's familiar with the idea that we're going to be doing bittul twice. We do it once the night of, and we do it again the next day, right at the time that we're doing biur. As far as the Gemara is concerned, the Gemara is only mentioning one bittul. The Gemara is talking about bittul that's done in conjunction with the bedika that's done at the night. What is our minhag in terms of doing a bittul later, a second bittul, on the day of the 14th? So stay tuned, we're going to come back and I'll briefly discuss that. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara over here is telling us a halacha that together with bedika, on the 9th and the 14th, there's also going to be bittul, my taima. So the Gemara says, let's understand, what are we being mevato? What are we nullifying? Parenthetically, by the way, and it's not a parenthetical note, but there is a discussion amongst the Rishon exactly what does bittul do? What exactly are we accomplishing through bittul? The Gemara never speaks about it. The Gemara here just speaks about bittul in a general sense. But from the Gemara itself, we do not get clarity in terms of what bittul is. Tosos earlier on Daf Daled describes bittul as being something very akin to being mafkir. To declaring the chametz to be ownerless. You are no longer the owner of the chametz. The Ramban disagrees in terms of what exactly bittul is accomplishing. Anyway, it's an important machlokus, and we're not going to go through it right now, but it's just noteworthy that it's really fundamental. In the meantime, however, we're back to our Gemara, and the Gemara is asking, why is bittul necessary altogether? My time out. Now, inem and mishum purim, maybe because there are crumbs left around. Meaning, remember, you just did bedika, which means that you just looked for the chametz and searched, and eventually will destroy all the chametz. So, what are we being mevato? So, the Gemara suggests maybe it's the crumbs. So, the Gemara says, halo chishiv, the crumbs don't have chashiras. V'chi tema, and maybe you'll suggest kevin the mint lehu agav beise chashive. Well, listen, what you do at night is that you close the doors, you lock the doors to your house at night. So, maybe that the crumbs are in the house and you're safeguarding the house. So, maybe you're being machshiv, you're giving a chashivas to the crumbs, and so therefore they're significant. The Gemara says v'atanya, but the Gemara says, but that's not true. We learned in the Braisa. Sufei te'enim, o mishamar sadeh mimnei arnavim. So let's say it's the end of the fig season. You already gathered all your figs in, and it happens to be that you're guarding the field because of the grapes. Or, sufei anavim, o mishamar sadeh mimnei mikshavus mimnei midlaos. Or let's say it's the end of the grape season, and you happen to be guarding the field, not because of the leftover grapes, but because of various gourds or squashes. So let's say the balabais is makpid over those leftover figs, over those leftover grapes. So then there's going to be an isser of gezel, and you're going to be chayav in shumas ha-maisos, but bizman shehim balabais makpid aleihem. However, if the owner no longer cares about it, despite the fact that it's in your field, and obviously you're going to be closing off your field, but nevertheless, if the owner is not makpid on them, so mitar mishum gezel, there's no gezel, meaning it's hefker, upitar mishum meiser, and because it's hefker, so there is no requirement of shumas ha-maisos. We see clearly over here that when something's on your property, and even though you care about everything else on that property, but if something's on your property that you don't care for, you don't regard for, so by definition, it's going to be declared ownerless. So this would be an indication now that if we're talking about the crumbs, and the whole reason that we're doing bittul is because of the crumbs, they're not significant enough where you're going to be where there's a requirement to do bittul. So Amar Rav Gzeres Shami Yamasi Gluska Yafe V'daite Lave. So Rav's explanation is that what's going to happen is that look, you did a bedika, but we're all human and we're all going to be making mistakes and we're not going to be doing a thorough bedika. And what we may end up doing is finding a loaf of bread. Right, open up one of the drawers, drawer that you thought you checked, you didn't check, and you find a loaf of bread over there and daita ilave, and your mind is going to be on this loaf of bread. And even before you eat it, meaning once you are interested in it, so then that's going to be a problem of ownership, meaning Balyura Balyamatse. So as a result of that, by doing bittul, so then what you have done is that you've declared it to be ownerless, meaning at the time of bedika, even the things that you didn't find, i.e. this loaf of bread that you just found, so it's ownerless and therefore it's not yours and therefore you're not in violation of Balyura Balyamatse. V'chi mishkach alei levatle. So the Gemara says, okay, so, but why do you have to do a bittul by the time of the bidika? Why don't you do a bittul when you actually find it? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that you might find it after it becomes usur. And after it becomes usur, you no longer have the ability to be mevato. Now that's interesting, and the Gemara now is going to accentuate this idea that after the Zman Isser, you simply don't have have an ability to be mevato. How do I know this? Amar Rav Elazar, Shnei Dvarim Einam Bereshuso Shel Adam Ve'asan HaKasuv Ki'ilu Bereshuso. So there are two things which are not in your property, and the Torah makes it as if it's in your property, meaning you will bear the full liability and responsibility of these items, despite the fact that you are no longer the owner of these items. Well, in one case, you were never the owner of the item. Ve'elohein Bor Bereshus Rabin Ve'chametz Be'Shei Sha'os U'Lamalo. So Bor Bereshus Rabin, you dig a hole in the Bereshus Rabin, so it's a public area. It's not yours, but because you dug a hole and you created an area of Hezek in the public, so therefore you're going to be fully responsible and liable for any damages that occur. So despite the fact that you're not the owner, but your liability and responsibility is as if you're the owner. That's one example. The second example is chametz from 6 hours and onward. Chametz from 6 hours and onward is usur. And so even though, and it's usur b'achila, it's usur b'anah, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So despite the fact that it has zero value to you, but the Torah makes it as if you are the owner, bearing the full liability of ownership of it. So by virtue of the fact that it's not really yours, so therefore you can't be mevatel it. So in other words, after 6 hours on Erev Pesach, so you are going to have all the liability and all the responsibility, but meanwhile, none of the benefits of ownership, meaning you can't be mevatel it. Good. The Gemara now wants to know, so what we've just concluded is that to do bittul, you have to do it before the Zman Isser. The Zman Isser starts at the end of the 6 hour in Erev Pesach. So now we are still at the position where we're going to be doing the bittul at the time of the Bedika, which is the night prior. The Gemara wants to know, why are we doing the bittul so early? Let's do the Bedika the night prior, as we have already established here in this parak. That's the optimal time to do so. The Gemara said earlier, the reason why Bedika at night is the optimal time to do so is because A, people are home at night, and B, it just works out better in terms of the lighting that you provide that you're going to be able to see in the nooks and crannies of your house. But why are we doing bittul at such an early juncture? You have the entire next morning in which you could do bittul, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. V'niftalei me'arba, v'niftalei b'chamesh, do bittul in the fourth hour of the morning, do in the fifth hour of the morning. So the Gemara says, kevin v'lav z'man yisuruhu, v'lav z'man biruhu, do ma'pasha v'lo me'vatalei. So the Gemara says, yeah, fourth hour, fifth hour, so what is that? It's not a specific time on Pesach morning. It doesn't have any conjunction with any other significant moments in time. It's not the Zman Bir, it's not the Zman Isser, so it's not significant, so therefore it's going to be very hard to remember just to do bittul in the middle of nowhere. So, good. So that's why we know the Gemara is not advocating to have bittul being done not in the fourth hour in the morning, not in the fifth hour in the morning. As we are now on the top of Zion Amad Aleph, v'niftalei b'shus. So why don't we do bittul at the 6 hour? And as Rashi points out over here, we're talking about the beginning of the 6 hour. So again, just to illustrate, we've made this point already before. But when we're talking about the 6 hour, we're talking about the entirety of the 6 hour, which means to say that we're going from the 11 to 12 on a perfect day, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay. So the 6 hour is going to be represented by the hour between 11 a.m. and 12 noon. Now, at 12 noon, chametz becomes usur min haTorah. At 11 a.m., chametz becomes usur be'achila uva'ana, albeit it's midrabanan. So the Gemara is suggesting now, so why don't we do bittul during that 6 hour? That 6 hour is going to be significant because it is Zman Isser, and so therefore why not do bittul then? V'niftalei b'shis kevim d'isur d'rabanan ilavei, kid araisa damya, v'la b'rishusei kameh, v'la matzi mevatel. So the Gemara gives a fundamental answer, which is that at that point in time, it is usur midrabanan. This is going to be established in a couple days from now in the Mishnayos, in Daf Yud Aleph. But we've already seen it, and now we get to see it again, that during the 6 hour already, the Chachamim placed a ban, both Isser Achila and Isser Ana'ah. So therefore, you cannot. It's no longer considered yours, and you can no longer be mevatalit, even though it's on a rabbinic level. And the Gemara makes this point very clear. The Amar of Gidol, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Amar Rava, Mekadesh Misheshos Velamala. If a person is Mekadesh, a woman, from the beginning of the 6 hour and onward, Afilu Bechute Kardunisa, even with wheat from Kardun, which is very hard wheat, and it's hard to make into chametz, but still, in Choshishin Likidushin. the Kiddushin is not going to be effective. Meaning, even though the Isser of this week is going to be an Isser Durabanan, nevertheless, that Isser Durabanan is going to be enough in order to remove the Kiddushin. And Rashi points out over here that, look, Kiddushin operates on a Daraisa level. The Isser over here of the wheat is only an Isser Durabanan. How can an Isser Durabanan block a Kiddushin Daraisa? Rashi over here invokes the idea. Rashi writes at the end of Dibra Maschal, Filo Bechiti Kordonaisai, so he quotes that this question is asked throughout Chas. Now, it happens not to be asked over here, but throughout Chas, the Gemara asks this question, and the answer is called the Mekadesh Adait to the Rabbanim Mekadesh, that when you are being Mekadesh a woman, you're doing so with only the consent of Chachmei Yisrael, Hefker based in Hefker, Vehem Ifkur Mamono, and based in can declare your money to be ownerless, and so therefore the Kedushin is not going to be valid because the money could be declared by Beis Din simply not to be your money. Anyway, what comes out over here is that Chametz from the 6th hour and on, and the way Rashi presents our Gemara over here, from the beginning of the 6th hour and on, is going to be an Isser Derabanan as a result of that. So therefore, you cannot be Mevatel at that point in time because, again, as we've already established, once the Chametz is in a Shas Isser, so you lose your ability to be Mevatel. The Uvelavasri Yisur Lamasi Mevatel, the Gemara would like to challenge this premise. Is that really true? And the Gemara says, consider the following, Vahatanya, we learned in the following, Braisa, Hayayosha, Be Beis HaMedrash, a person is sitting in the Beis HaMedrash. Venizkar, Sheish Chametz, Besoch Beis, or having remembered now, the Chametz is in his house. Mevatlo, Bilibo. So he's Mevatel it in his heart. Okay, in other words, Bittel simply, there's no action when it comes to Bittel. You could do Bittel in your heart. Now, does the Gemara mean over here that Bittel could be done even without articulation? Does it require articulation? Happens to be a discussion, but in the meantime, however, the idea is right now, we'll just say it simply, is that you doesn't need an action. You just simply needs a verbalization or in the very least a thought. So Echad Shabbos ve'Echad Yontov, and this is true whether it's going to be Shabbos or Yontov, you could do Bittel. Now the Gemara says, let's think about this. What did we just get done saying? That you're in the Beis Medrash and you remember that you had Chametz in your house and now you could do Bittel. And it be Shabbos, whether it be Shabbos or whether it be Yontov. Now, Bishlam is Shabbos, Mishkach, Laki Gon Shechalar, Ba'asar, Lios, B'Shabbos. So as far as Shabbos is concerned, I totally understand the circumstances, one in which Shabbos comes out to be Erev Pesach. So it happens to be that you went to Shul in the morning and you spent some time learning and you forgot that you had Chametz in your house. Now, you were planning either on eating it, getting rid of it, whatever the case was, and you totally forgot, so fine. You don't have to go home, you can be Mevato. So that I understand, and on top of that, we could also be describing a situation where it's kodem iser. So then it'd be fine. Ela yomtov baser yisurahu, but I don't understand. Second case in the Brisa was yomtov. Yomtov, obviously, it's aser on yomtov. The chametz is aser on yomtov. So what are we talking about? You could do bittel. Didn't you tell me that we can't do bittel after the zman iser? So Amar Avach, Rabbi Yaakov, Hacha, B'Talmid Yosef, Lefnei Rabbo, Oskin, B'Nisker, Sheish Isa, Megugelis, Pesach, Beiso, U'Misyari Shema, Tachmitz kodem umevatale mikamid de tachmitz. So the Gemara here gives a really creative answer, and that's the following, and that is that it is yontif, and you made a dough, and in other words, you were making matzah. Now to us, it's hard for us to envision because we make our matzahs. I mean, we don't make any matzahs; we buy our matzahs. But matzah is made prior to Pesach, and the idea that we're going to be making matzah on Pesach itself. So that's a foreign idea to us. But if you think about it, there's no problem with it whatsoever. In other words, as long as you're quick and as long as you bake it before it ferments, so then there simply is no problem with it whatsoever. You make the matzah on yontov. Over here, what we're describing is a person, a Talmud, making a matzah. And then, so what he does is he rolls the dough and then he leaves and he goes to shul. Okay, now, granted, of course, that okay, the common sense would indicate that now is not the best time to go to shul, or perhaps another time would have been a better time to start having made the dough. Whatever the case is, he made the dough and he left for shul. So at this point in time now, it's not chametz, which means it's not usser. Now, obviously, the more times he spends in shul, the more time it's likely going to become chametz. Once it becomes chametz, obviously, it will be too late to be mevatelet. That's what the Bryce is describing. The Bryce is saying that under those circumstances, now he could be mevatel it before it becomes chametz. It's a creative way to explain the braisa. In fact, a critical reading of the braisa would seem to indicate that this is, in fact, so. Haya Yoshe Besoch Beis HaMedrash. She was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash. Meaning at this point in time, everything is okay. Meaning the dough that he made wasn't yet chametz. But give it some time and it will become chametz. And so the reading of the Braisa would certainly seem to indicate what we just suggested as terms of the pshat in the Braisa. Adkan, so far what we have right now is concluded the topic, the halacha, regarding the bito that comes in conjunction with bedika. So when you do bedika on Lel Yadalit, so you're going to be doing an examination, a search of your house for all of chametz, and even after you do that, and even though you think you have identified and herded up all of your chametz in the house, still there is a halacha of bito. You have to be mevatel any of the chametz that may be left in your house. Why do bito? So Shema Yemasik Luska Yafa, because you might find a nice roll over Pesach, and it may look appealing to you, and already without Bittul you would be in violation of Ba'ira Ba'yamase. Good. As I pointed out, as far as the Gemara is concerned, so the Gemara has us doing only one Bittul, and that's after Bedika and Lel Yadalit. Fine. That's the Bittul that is endorsed by the Gemara. However, the Rishonim already discussed. You can find it over here in the Rush, but the Rishonim already discussed the idea that a second bittul is suggested, recommended, based on the fact that what do we do? What's our minug? So many have the minug of after doing bedika. So yes, they've rounded up all their chametz, but they do save some chametz over in order to eat on the morning of Yadalit. It's our last opportunity, chametz, and some people get really excited about chametz, so they want to have one last chametz meal, so they save it for the morning of. Being that you do have chametz that you left over for the morning of, so it is therefore advocated, recommended, endorsed, and it's minhag Yisrael, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well, that the that we're going to be doing another bedika right at the Zman Bir, at the end of the fifth hour, when we're going to be doing the Bir chametz. So then it is recommended that we do a second bittul as well, just in case any of the chametz that we left over, we for whatever reason we forgot about it. So as far as the bedikas are concerned, there are two bedikas. The one the Gemara makes reference to is the one that's done at the night after Bedika. Sorry, there's two bittels. Okay, now I'm just hearing myself. There are two bittels. One that's done at night in conjunction with the Bedika, and there's going to be a second one that's done at the end of the fifth hour in the daytime that is done in conjunction with Bior. The one that's just discussed in the Gemara is the one at night, not the one during the day. Okay. We continue in the Gemara. We are now going to be discussing another halacha, a bread box. Okay, these halachas over here are going to be a little bit difficult for us to process, as over here there's going to be mass confusion over whether or not a loaf of bread is going to be chametz or matzah. Now, from our perspective, that's really hard to imagine. It's pretty easy for us to identify matzah because our matzah is our matzah. In other words, we know exactly what we're looking at when we're looking at matzah, and really hard to confuse matzah and bread. However, it's very clear, and we're going to see numbers of Gemaras that speak to this idea, and Psachim Dav Zayin is one of those Gemaras that speak really clearly to this idea, that back in the day, their matzahs were more like lafas, they were more like pitas. They were soft, and they basically behaved a little bit more like bread. They looked a lot more like bread. The difference, of course, is that they were baked prior to any serious chimutz, any serious fermentation. The Gemara later in the Masechta is going to give us ways of identifying the chimutz again. To us, it's going to be an academic point because our matzahs are burnt to a crisp, literally. So it's very hard for us to relate to these Gemaras. But anyway, so with that stated, so let's see the Gemara inside. Amarav Baravuna Amarav Pas She'ifsha. So let's say you have bread that got a little bit moldy. So you open up your bread box, and the bread is a little bit moldy, and you don't know if this moldy bread is chametz or it's matzah. So kevishir avsa matzah muteres. So the Gemara makes the following halachic conclusion, which is that as long as there is a preponderance of matzah, so this moldy bread, which is not totally identifiable, is therefore going to be mutter. So the Gemara says a little more context, please. Hey chidami, ilam diadaba de chametzi kiravsa matzah mayhave. Well, look, if this moldy piece of bread is actually chametz bread, so then what difference does it make what else is being used in the bread box? So Ela de lo yadinim ba'i chametz hu imatza hu. So in this case, it must of course start off with us not knowing whether the moldy bread is chametz or matzah. So my iria ki rapsa matzah, filu ki lo rapsa matzah, nami nezo basar basra. So the Gemara says, so why is it that we're interested at all in the question of the preponderance and the majority? Meaning over here, isn't there another concept in halacha that really should guide us in terms of what the conclusion would be, notably last usage? Last usage is going to be a halachic concept and principle, and we're going to see it together right now. Milo Tanam, we learned in the Mishnah, Maushin Imsu Lifnei Sochrei Behema. So let's say you find money in front of people selling animals. We're in Yerushalayim over here, and people coming up from all over Eretz Yisrael with their Meister Sheni money, and they're purchasing animals with their Meister Sheni money. So if I find any coins in front of the Sochrim, in front of the sellers of the animals, so probably it's going to be Meister Sheni. And that's exactly what this Brisa says. So the Mishnah also in Shkalim. Anyway, Ma'u Shenimsu Lifnei Sochrim Behema La'ola Meister. So it's going to have the status of being Meister Sheni. Bahar Abai is Chulin. If you find money in Har Abai, so it's going to be Chulin. Be Yerushalayim. Now, if you find money in general, anywhere in Yerushalayim, so B'Shas HaRegel Meister, if it's during Yontiv, so it's going to be Meister Sheni. Everyone's coming up to Yerushalayim during Yontiv, a mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel. Everyone's bringing up their Meister Sheni money. Their Meister Sheni money has been collected now for at least, for about 6 months, right? From Pesach to Shavuos is a short is a much shorter window, 50-day window. But still, in terms of the regalim, so you're basically going up in Nisan, you're going up in Tishrei, and so you've been collecting all this Meister Sheni money for about a half a year, and so you can assume that any money found in Yerushalayim during Yontiv is going to be Meister Sheni money. B'Sharim Meister Sheni. Now, any other time, the year Chulin, the money is going to be just Chulin money. Now the Amar Ashmaya Brazera my time. Now let's understand this halacha a little bit better. Why? Why is it that during Yom Tov you're going to be any money found in the streets of Yerushalayim is going to be Meister Sheni money? So the Gemara's answer, the Gemara's explanation, my time. Hol v'shuka Yerushalayim assume li's kabed b'chol yom, because we know that the sanitation in Yerushalayim is excellent. The streets get swept every day. Ama amrinan kame kame azlei lei v'hani achrina ninu. And so therefore we're able to use the principle of last usage. Since the streets of Yerushalayim are swept on a daily basis, and since now money is found, so we're going to assume that this money is coming from a recent transaction or a recent consumer, i.e. someone making Aliyah LaRegel, bringing in with him Meister Sheni money. So we see the principle operate clearly here in this Mishnah in Shkalim. Now let's take that idea. Now let's bring it back to our bread box. Hachinami nema kama kama azav ahaya idnahu. So the Gemara says, so when it comes to the bread box, so, and we want to know, in the bread box, is it bread or is it matzah? Again, I know it's a little bit strange for us to even consider that somebody's going to be using the same bread box for both matzah and for chametz. But if you think about it, you'll just clean it out and you can repurpose it. Again, it's hard for us to think that way. But from the Gemara standpoint, that's exactly what's going on. And so now the Gemara says, so why don't we talk about last usage? Meaning, if we're right now in the Pesach Yontif, anywhere in the Pesach Yontif, isn't last usage by definition going to be matzah? Meaning that this bread over here, which is not clearly identifiable, it's got to be matzah based on the principle of last usage. So the Gemara says, Shani hacha di ipusha mochiach ilavei. So the Gemara says, look, last usage is clearly a principle. It's clearly a value. On the other hand, it's moldy bread. So since it's moldy bread, so that would indicate that it's been here in the box for some time already. So the Gemara says, "Yifusha mochich ilavei kiraf samata mayhave." So the Gemara says that's such a strong counter argument. In fact, now we're going to go in the other direction. If it's moldy bread, which indicates that it's been here for some time, so how can you even make the argument that it is matzah? Most probably, it's chametz bread that was there from before Pesach. So Amar Rabba lo tema shiraf samata ela ema shirabu yemei matzah ilavei. So the Gemara says what we're going to do over here is we're going to add an important correction. And that is that we're not talking about the majority of what was in the box, whether it was matzah, whether it was chametz. No. What we're describing over here is the number of days of Pesach now have come. If the majority of days of Pesach have gone by, Pesach is a total of 7 days in Eretz Yisrael. So let's say now 4 days have gone by. And I find now the moldy bread. We're going to put the word bread in quotes over here. Because I'm using bread over here just simply to describe something that is gluten. But we don't know if it's matzah, we don't know if it's chametz, and we find it in the box. So at this point in time now, since it's already 4 days since Pesach started, so it's more than possible that this moldy bread is actually matzah, because we're in day number four, by day number four already, So you should expect some moldy matzah in the box. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that we've limited this halacha to the later days of Pesach, it's pretty obvious, meaning we have the principle of last usage, and on top of that, we are well into Pesach, which explains how it is that this matzah got moldy. So the Gemara says, isn't it now pretty obvious? So the Gemara says, not necessary. Lo tzricha di ipusha meruba. No, it's really moldy. So mao de tema came di ipusha meruba iglai milso devade chametz mal yehu. So if it's really moldy, can we make the argument now that this goes all the way back to the from before Pesach? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Kamash malan kevin shirabu yemei masa ilave. Armina kol yuma v'yuma nama chamima afa v'shade ilave. V'afsha tefei. So since we've been using this bread box a lot, and what we've been doing is we just freshly baked matzah has gone on top of this moldy matzah. So the fact that there's now heat and heat and heat that's built on top of it, so therefore it just gets it to get moldier even quicker. It accelerates the molding of this bread. That's why we find it to be so moldy. But again, though, we could still stand with the argument that this is already this is matzah that was baked in the beginning of Pesach, and the fact that it's so moldy, we have an explanation for that. Umiyav lina basar basra, the Gemara says, now this idea of last usage as it being a halachic indicator. So the Gemara says, v'atanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tevish nishamshu ba maus chulin umaus meiser. So let's say you have a chest that you use it for money of chulin and money of meiser. And now you have money in there and you don't know what that money is. So imrav chulin chulin, imrav meiser meiser. So if the majority of the time we're using it with chulin money, so then the money in there is chulin. If the majority of the time it's meiser, then the money in there is meiser. Meiser over here meaning meiser sheni. Before we go on in the Gemara, I would like to make a really simple suggestion, and that is for this person that we're now trying to figure out what the money is in his box. So my simple suggestion of the day would be for him to purchase a second box, and that way he can have a chulin box and a meiser sheni box. But leave that aside right now. We want to know halachically how does this work out when we have one box used for both chulin and for meiser sheni. So what's the money going to be? So the Braisa says it's based on rov, and the Gemara asks the question based on rov. Am I lezo basar basra? Over here, if we're talking about a box where money is used, so let's talk about last usage. Why isn't that the determinant in terms of figuring out what the money is? Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Hacha by my skin and kagon shenisham shuba maus chulin or maus meiser ve'ein yodea ezem and besof. So the Gemara is going to give a couple of more than a couple, but a number of responses to this question of how it is that we're not using basra last usage as a determinant. So the first answer of the Gemara is really simple, and that is that we've been going back and forth between chulin and meiser sheni, and we simply don't know what's the last thing that was used over there. That's one answer. Rav Zvid Amar Kigon Shnesham Shabbat Siborin Siborin. Rav Zvid says that basically we have piles of both in the box, and they were both piled up, so there is no last usage. And it's just another answer similar to the first. And Rav Papa Amar Kigon Ishtakech Beguma. It happens to be the coin in question over here is located in a hole on the bottom of the box, meaning that as far as money is concerned, so money generally fills up the box, but it happens to be that in this particular case, there is some depression, some sort of hole on the bottom of the box, and this coin got stuck in the depression, and now chances are that it could have been there for some time already, and that's why Basra, last usage, is not going to be a determinant on this particular coin. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of Zayin Amid Aleph. We are towards the bottom, three lines from the bottom of Zayin Amid Aleph, and now we're going to be discussing our last halacha of the morning, which will cover us for the remainder of Daf Zayin, or at least the part that we're going to get up to, notably the bracha. What is the bracha that we're going to make when doing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz? Mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz is a mitzvah de Rabbanan, as we already pointed out a number of times, but even mitzvahs de Rabbanan receive a bracha. We see a number of examples of that. And so the question, of course, is that what is the bracha that is that we're going to make? So the Gemara is going to go over here over Nusach HaBracha, and the Gemara, interestingly enough, is going to have a machlokus of what the Nusach HaBracha is going to be. Amrav Yudah Bodek Sarach Sheyivarech. When you do Bedika, you need to make a bracha. Mayim Avarech, what's the bracha going to be? Rav Papi Amrav Mishmei Derava, Liva Er Chameitz. So the bracha is going to be Liva Er with a Lamed. And Rav Papa Amar Mishmei the Rava Al Bi'ur Chametz. And according to Rav Papa, in the name of Rav, the bracha is going to be Al Bi'ur Chametz. Now, the Gemara goes and clarifies what is going to be the difference in terms of connotation of saying Livair versus saying Al Bi'ur. B'Livair Kulei Amalo Pligi Devadei La'aba Mashma. So as far as Livair with a Lamed, so everyone's in agreement that speaks about what we're going to do. And being that we're making the bracha before we do the mitzvah, so then Levair would be good, and it would be good according to everybody. Ki pligi ba'al bior. As far as the debate is concerned, the debate surrounds what happens when you say the words al bior. Marsav mikara mashma, marsav lahaba mashma. And the debate is whether or not the al bior is going on something that happened in the past, or whether it's going on something that's going to happen in the future. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Baruch, and the Gemara over here is assuming that we know the standard format of a bracha, and then Asher Kishan ben Mitzvah Zivanu al Hamila. So the bracha for the Birchas Hamila is going to be al Hamila. Right? We already established this at the end of the 19th parak of Shabbos, but obviously now it is germane to our discussion over here, because you see clearly that you're making the bracha of Mila before you do the Mitzvah Mila, and meanwhile it's al Hamila, which would be supportive that for the bracha of Bior, it should be al Bior. So the Gemara says, Hasam Hecha Nema. So the Gemara says, over there, what's your alternative? Nema Lamul. So what should the bracha be? Should the bracha be Lamul? Now, before we go on in the Gemara, just an assumption that the Gemara is making, and that is the following. When you put a Laman in the front, so it indicates it's something we're going to do. That we've already established, and everyone agrees to that. In addition to that, also with a Laman in the front, we're talking about an imperative. Something that I have to do. Now, when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila, no, yes, it's true, the father has to do it, but who's making the bracha right now of Al Hamila? And the answer is the Mo'el. So is the Mo'el the one that has to do the mitzvah? The Mo'el was commissioned to do the mitzvah. The Mo'el was appointed to do the mitzvah, but the Mo'el is not the father. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. Meaning, when you say the word Lamo'el, so it'd be fine and relevant if the father was doing the Mila, but that's not who's doing the Mila. So lo sagi lav iu mahil. So the Gemara says the Mo'el doesn't have to be doing the Mila right now. He was asked slash paid to do the Mila, but he doesn't have to do the Mila. He's not required to do the Mila. It's not an obligation for him to do the Mila. Unlike the father, that's why the word, the bracha Lamo'el, is simply not relevant. So the Gemara says, Aviyah ben Ma'ika Lamemar and Achinami. So the Gemara says, okay, but if the father does the Mila, so then you're telling me it's Lamo'el? And the Gemara acknowledges, yes, if the father did the Mila, so the bracha would no longer be Ala Mila, but rather Lamo'el. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges once again, Baruch Atah Hashem, L'kein Mech Olam, I'll just add it. Asher Kishan Mimsav Zivano, Ala Shechita. So over there, the bracha on Shechita is Ala Shechita, which again, we know we're making the bracha before we do the mitzvah of Shechita, and you see the Nusach is Ala Shechita. Okay, that seems to be a good raya, that it's preferable to say Al. So Asanami, Echa Nema, Nema Lishchot. So the Gemara says, well, what's the alternative? The alternative is instead of saying Ala Shechita, to say Lishchot, but the Gemara says, but we just went over. You only put the lamin in there if it's something that you must be doing. As far as the shochet is concerned, so it's a great parnasa, but he doesn't have to be shechting right now. Lo sagid delav ihu shachit. It's not he who has to do the shechita. So the Gemara says, fine, but Pesach for kachem ma'ikla memar, karm Pesach or karbanos in general, that you must bring. So there is an imperative where you have to be doing the shechita. So over there, the bracha should be lishchot. So the Gemara says, anachinami. So the Gemara says, okay, point very well taken. So it's fine. So you say a lishcho. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, ha'os a lulav la'atzma mevarach shechiyanu. When you prepare your lulav, you make a bracha shechiyanu. V'kimanu, v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. Not lulatzeis bo, and once you take it to be yotzei, omei asher kishan mitzav tzivanu al netilas lulav. So here we have another proof that the bracha should be said with the nusach of al. So shani asan, debi'ina da'agma nafik be'. So the Gemara says, well, it's different over there. So, because the moment that you pick up the lulav, you're already yotze. And so, ihachi latzeis bo yatza bo mibaye. So the Gemara says, well, that really doesn't fit into the language of the Braisa. Because the Braisa says, you're going to be yotze. Now, the way we're saying it now, that you pick up the lulav and you're already yotze just by picking up the lulav, so then the language of the Braisa should be yatza bo mibaye, that you know you fulfill the obligation. So, enachinami. So the Gemara says, no, the point is actually very well taken. Meaning, yeah, when you pick up the lulav, you already yotze the mitzvah, and so what you're left with now is just to make a bracha. But in a chinami, you already yotze with the mitzvah. So which the Gemara says, and mishum de kabay the mitzvah seifa leisha b'sukkah tanereisha nami latzeis bal. And as far as the language of the Brisa is concerned, where it makes it sound like we're going to be doing the mitzvah, that's just for purposes of symmetry. And the Gemara says diktani seifa because it says in the end of the Brisa osa sukkah latzmo, a person making a sukkah for himself. Omer baruch ata Hashem. You make a bracha shachianu when you make the sukkah. Nichnas leishevo when you go and sit in your sukkah. Omer baruch hashem kachem and savizivanu leishev basukkah. So the bracha is going to be a leishev basukkah. So since by sukkah we're using the language of to be yotzei, so the same thing is true over here when it comes to the dalaminim to be yotzei. But the truth of the matter is you're already yotzei. Okay, Tosus in sukkah as well as Tosus over here is bothered by a very simple question, which is. You're making the bracha on dalaminim after you fulfill the mitzvah, as a rule, which we're about to see together in our Gemara. Whenever you're making a bracha's mitzvah, it should be kodem lasia before you do it. So how does that work when it comes to lulav? So Tosus over here gives an answer. Tosus in Sukkah discusses this also in much greater detail, but Tosus over here gives a short answer. Third Tosus down. Be'ina da'agba nafik be'vim tamar kemen the nafik heich yivarech. So Tosus asks the question point blank. If in fact our Gemara is correct that you already fulfilled the mitzvah when you picked it up, so what are you doing making a bracha? Bracha has to be over las yasa. So the Balei HaTosus specifically the Ri gives an answer and he says that even after you picked up the lulav, there still is an inyan of mitzvah as it relates to the dalminim, i.e. the nanuim. The shaking of the lulav during halal, which is a chelek ha-mitzvah, and so therefore it shaykh to even make the bracha even after you picked it up. That's Tosus over here. Tosus in Sukkah discusses this problem, this dilemma, much more extensively, gives other suggestions, solutions in terms of how to avoid the problem. In the meantime, however, where do we stand right now? The Gemara brought down a machlokus in terms of what the correct nusach should be for the mitzvah of bedika. Should it be al bir chametz or live air? And the Gemara, interestingly, quoted a number of other brachos of mitzvah. For the vast majority of them, we said that the nusach should be al, and the Gemara deflected that maybe in those cases there's just simply no alternative. V'hilchasa al bir chametz. The Gemara over here comes to a very clear conclusion, which is that the bracha, the correct nusach bracha for the mitzvah of bedika is al bir chametz. Okay, it is very interesting that the Gemara, when starting off the discussion on the bottom of the previous summit to the top of our Amud, so the Gemara noted that when it comes to Liva Air, Kuli Alma, everyone agrees that that's Lahaba that's talking about the future, which obviously would be appropriate, because when we're making the bracha before we do the mitzvah. And meanwhile, when it comes to Al Bir Chametz, that's subject to a machlokas. So it's so interesting that the Gemara over here clearly adopts a halachic position, which is a controversial position, meaning why didn't the Gemara just simply take the position that is not controversial, say Liva Air, which would satisfy both positions. Why did the Gemara here go with al bi'ur chametz, which is a controversial position? Okay, it's a wonderful question, and the Rishonim answer it, and I'm not going to go through it, but it certainly needs an explanation. Finishing up the daf, finishing up to the two dafs, dekulei amami amikarabin and levruche. Okay, look, here's the supposition that we've gone through in this whole discussion, and that is when you're making a berachas mitzvah, the berachas mitzvah has to come before you do the mitzvah. How do I know that? I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Rav Shmuel. Kol ha-mitzvahs mevarchalem over le'asiyasam. When you do a mitzvah and you're going to be making a berachas mitzvah, the bracha has to be over le'asiyasam before you do the mitzvah. Ma'amashon da'ai over lishna de'akdumehu. Now, the word over in this context clearly means before, and the Gemara wants to know, like, where do we see that? Where's the syntax? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Damar Kras. So the Gemara is going to quote numerous psukim that speak to this idea. The word over means to precede. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Shmuel Beis, where clearly in the context over there, it means that he preceded, he went ahead of. So another pasuk in terms of this coming parsha, Vayishlach. So he went in front of them. And the king went in front of them. Kadosh Baruch Hu was at the forefront. But anyway, so you see three examples in Tanakh, Shmuel, Bereishis, and Sefer Micha, where the word Yavor means to precede. Bei Rav Amri chutz min atfila vishofer. The Gemara notes that there are notable exceptions with many rules. So there are exceptions. So here there are notable exceptions where even though berachos a mitzvah in general, you make a bracha beforehand, but there are occasions where you can make a bracha afterwards. The Gemara lists right now two exceptions, the mitzvah of tefila and the mitzvah of shofar. Now, bishlam tefila dakati gavar lo chazei. So the Gemara says, now I understand that for tefila, so you can't make a bracha beforehand because the person himself is not yet fit. We're going to explain that better in just a moment. So therefore, ein breira, there's just simply no choice. You're going to make the bracha tefila afterwards. Elo shofar my taima. But why for shofar are we not able to make a bracha beforehand? So v'chitem mishum doma mikalkalei tkiya. And maybe the problem is, and I can tell you this from experience, and that is that you are pretty sure that you're going to have the kolos come out, but you don't know with absolute confidence that the kolos are going to come out, or certainly not the way you planned it. And so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that I can't make a bracha on the shofar, because there's a chance now that after I make a bracha, so the tekiyos are not going to come out, it turns out to be a bracha levatala. So the Gemara says, really? So hachi afilu shchita umila. So if that's a valid argument, so why don't we say the same thing about shchita? And why don't we say the same thing by Mila as well? And boy, is that going to be an uncomfortable conversation between the mole and the father. Father says to the mole, why aren't you making a bracha? And the mole says, I'll tell you what, why don't you ask me that a little bit later on? So the Gemara says, look, it's clearly not a valid argument because we don't use that argument for Shechita nor for Mila. So Elam Rav Chisda Chutz Min HaTfila Bava. So the Gemara says, okay, we're just simply going to remove shofar from the list of exceptions. Shofar is the rule. The rule is that you make the bracha before you blow shofar. So as you do before shchita and as you do before mila, and we're gonna walk in with confidence, and we're gonna say it's gonna go well. Okay, and the only exception being tefila. It matayin ameach. The Gemara quotes the Brice over here. Tava va'ala be'aliyaso. So you tovel, and when you come up from the mikvah. So then, Omer Bracha Shir Kishanim Mitzvah Zivan Al HaTfila, that's when you make the Bracha of Al HaTfila afterwards. Now, why is it that you can't make a Bracha before you Tov in the Mikvah? So, Tosus over here, really interesting discussion in Tosus over here. Tosus writes, Omer Rabbeinu Chanan Al B'Shem HaGaon Dafka B'Tfilas Gir. That we're talking about a convert over here. We're not talking about all Tfilas, but we're speaking specifically about the Tfila of a Gir. And of course, if you think about it, he goes on to say, Delo Chazi Konim Tfila. Because prior to him becoming a ger, so he's a nachri, and he simply is incapable of making a bracha. The bracha is simply not true. He's not yet commanded. But as far as anyone else who has to talk on the mikvah, they can make the bracha beforehand. So is the opinion of Rabbeinu Chanan quoted in the name of the Gaonim. Afapike no mari, but then Tosfos goes on to quote the Ri, and that is the Ein Ligor B'Nashim Shemavarchus Achar Tfila. He says that there's an establishment that women make a bracha after they tovel, and the Ri says, and don't protest. I think what they're doing is good. Kim Deika Tfilas Ger Delo Matzil Avarech Lo Chilku. So basically the Ri says that once there is an example of somebody who's unable to make a bracha before tefillah, i.e. the ger, so that's just simply going to extend now to all types of tefillah. Not only is it going to extend to all types of tefillah, he goes on to say, even netilas yadayim. V'chein, he tells us goes on over here. V'chein netilas yadayim lo chilku ben netilas shel achar beis hakisa de la masa lavar kodem. And look, when you do netilas yadayim, so if you're doing netilas yadayim, you have to go to the bathroom. So obviously you can't make a bracha before netilas yadayim. So you have schmutz on your hands after you have gone to the bathroom. So just simply in no position to make a bracha beforehand. So then your only option is to make a bracha after netilas yadayim. And that's true in that netilas yadayim. It's going to be true by all netilas yadayim as well. Again, using this idea of lo plug, lo chilku chachamim. Good. So anyway, just an interesting tosus in terms of the application of tefillah being the exception to the rule. The rule is you make a bracha, a birchas a mitzvah before you do the mitzvah, tefillah being the exception. Tosfos talks about the scope of that exception. Okay, and let's review. We'll pick it up at the two dots tomorrow morning. As far as where we started this morning, we started with the halacha Rav Yehuda Merav, that after having done bedika on lel yudal, so you have to do bittul at that point in time. Why do you have to do bittul? So the Gemara rejected the idea of the crumbs. That has nothing to do with the crumbs, but it has to do with the fact that you're going to find a nice loaf of bread, and you'll be in violation of Ayur Abba Yamatze as you look lovingly at that loaf of bread. The Gemara wants to know, why don't we do bittul at other points of time? Why specifically the night of the 14th? And the Gemara rejected a number of other candidates in terms of when would be a good time to do bittul. We spoke briefly, Minhag Yisrael brought down Shulchan Aruch, that we end up doing bittul a second time at the Zman Bir, at the end of the morning, actually at the end of the fifth hour. That was added on by the Rishonim. That was by the Rush, codifying the Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, we talked about the bread box, the Gemara in Zayin Amin Aleph. So we spoke about bread box. You found moldy bread in there. You don't know if that bread was chametz, or you don't know if it was matzah. And we discussed at length the idea of basra, the idea of last usage being a halachic determinant. Why is basra not used over here? So the Gemara, in fact, sets it up so that really basra is in fact going to be used in this case over here. And that's an oversimplification of the Gemara's discussion regarding the bread box. And finally, our last discussion that we had today was the Nusach HaBracha that we make over the Bedika. The Gemara went over a couple of options in terms of what the Nusach HaBracha should be. Should it be Livayer or should it be Al Bior? The Gemara notes that Livayer, according to everybody, is Lahaba. Al Bior, subject to debate, whether it's something that happened or whether it's Lahaba. When it comes to Birchas HaMitzvah, so it has to be Lahaba. Interestingly, the Gemara concludes it should be Al Bior Chametz, despite the fact that that's a controversial pick, but the Gemara ends up going with the controversial pick. And then the Gemara has a discussion in terms of notable exceptions. What are the exceptions in which we're going to be making the bracha after the mitzvah, not before the mitzvah? At first, the Gemara had a couple of exceptions. Shofar and Tevila, the Gemara whittled it down to one exception, Tevila, and the scope of that exception. So briefly, we went through Tosfos to discuss that.